This morning we're going to be in Proverbs, and so if you'd like to open your Bible to Proverbs 3, I'm going to read that for us. We're going to be reading verses 14 to 13. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And he says, I want you to go back to verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves, and as a father, the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have provided your word to us so that we can read it, so that we can study it, so that we can understand it, so that it can help us to grow in our walk with you, so it will help us to be prepared to do the things that you will call us and have called us to do. I pray that you would speak through me today, that we would hear from your word and understand what it has to say, and that we would grow closer to you in every way. We ask all this, God, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Evan and I decided that we were going to start moving from Acts into disciplines, we didn't want this to be or to come across as a punishment. Disciplines are not a punishment. Discipline may be a punishment. But the idea of disciplines is the idea of growing in your understanding and knowledge of God. Go back to school and think about it. In school, you may study science, but you have disciplines of biology or chemistry. In history, you may have the study of history, but you may have disciplines in world history or U.S. history or European history or ancient history. In business, you may have business as your study, but you may have disciplines in finance or management. The idea of the discipline is to focus in an area. So our idea of looking at disciplines is to help us as believers focus in areas that are important in our walk and our relationship with God. So we don't intend this to be an exclusive or an exhaustive study of all disciplines that might be there, but rather we're going to look over the next few weeks at the main disciplines that we see in Scripture, the things that are crucial, if you will, in our daily walk. In Psalm 119:105, the writer says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, when you read that, it kind of sounds like the same thing. But if you stop and think about it, it's really interesting because it says that God's word does two things for you. One is, when you look down at where you're walking, it's a lamp to your feet. It means you can see where you're walking so that you don't stumble and fall, so that you don't trip over that rock that's jutting out of the ground. The problem I have, we go hiking as a family, and we're walking along on the trail, and I'm like this, you know. Next thing I know, I'm tripping over a tree root or a rock or something else, because I'm not really looking where I'm going. And so God's word is that lamp that lights where you're walking. But it also says that it shines on the path. It leads you where you need to go. It keeps you on the path. As you know, I was reading Pilgrim's Progress, and in that, Christian is walking on a path, and he gets to a point, and it starts to get dark, but he continues on, and because of it, he falls off the path. And that happens to us if we're not following God's word, if we're not watching where we need to go. His word lights the way for us so that not only do we not stumble, but we don't get off that path. We continue safely where we want to go. And so this is the idea that we're going to be looking at today, because we're going to be talking about reading God's word. We're going to be talking about studying God's word. And they're really two different things. And so we want to look at that. In Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, let me share this with you, because I want you to hear what it says. Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20. Now, in Deuteronomy, in this section, it's talking about when Israel gets a king. And it's kind of interesting because Moses is telling them when you get a king. They haven't asked for a king. They haven't been promised a king. They don't know anything about a king at this point. And yet he's giving them this warning. Listen to what he says. When he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it in all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes, and by doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. So God tells the people of Israel, look, when you have a king, that king has a job, and that's to rule over the people. And so he is responsible to sit down and write the law out for himself in a book, his own copy by his own hand. And it has to be approved by the Levitical priest, which means they have to make sure he wrote it correctly. And then he's responsible to read it all the days of his life in order that he might remain according to the laws of God. That's an interesting thing, because you know what? I don't read anywhere in Scripture that any of the kings did that. It doesn't mean they didn't. But it doesn't surprise me then that when you get into 1st and 2nd Kings and you start to see the king's lines, how almost, not every, but almost every other king, if not more, it says, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why do you think it says that? Because he didn't write it down, he didn't read God's laws, and he didn't pay attention to what they said. You know, Romans 12:2, let's go into the New Testament. Romans 12:2, Paul writes to us, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, Paul's saying the same thing. Don't get wrapped up in what the world offers you, because what the world offers you is of Satan. It is his world. He says, you come to the word of God. How do we get transformed by God? By the renewing of our minds. And how does that take place? By the reading and studying of God's word. And so Paul is telling us the same thing that Deuteronomy was telling the kings. You need to know God's word. You need to know what it says. You need to know what it means. And by doing that, God will transform you into one who is like Jesus Christ. That's his goal. It says we're going to come to heaven, and when we get to heaven, what does it say? We will be like him. How does that happen? By the hand of God, by his transforming us and renewing us. So Paul is telling us the same thing. Go to Philippians 4:8. In Philippians 4:8, Paul writes to the church and he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." These are the things we should be focused on. These are the things we should pay attention to. And that happens only when we spend time in the Word of God. That is where we need to be. You see, transforming comes by the Word of God and from our reading of that Word. You know, it's possible that we may suffer anxiety. We may suffer and become confused all because we don't read and know the Word of God. How do we get led astray by false teaching? Because we don't know what the Word of God says. The Berean church was commended not just because they listened to what Paul said, but because every day after they listened to what Paul said, they went home and opened the scriptures and read for themselves to make certain that what he was teaching was correct. That was why they were commended. If you want to avoid being led astray by false teaching, then know what God's word says so that when you hear it, it makes your head go like this. What does that mean? I'm not sure that's what God's word says. You know, you should never trust what I say. You should verify what I say. Because what I say better be the word of God. And if it's not, somebody better stand up and say, "Hey, Rick, I think there's a problem." You should never trust the word of man. You should only trust the word of God. You know, we have a need to be in that word. And we have hundreds of reading plans. You can go on the internet. You can find all kinds of reading plans. We actually have two. We have one reading plan here that we've printed out that if you take it and read, you read a little, about a chapter a day, and in the course of 3 years, you will have read through the whole Bible. If that's not quick enough for you, you want a little bit more aggressive pace, we have a plan that has you read about 5 chapters a day, and at the end of the year, you'll have read through the entire Bible once and the New Testament twice. And if those don't fit your fancy, there's others that are out there. You can go and find them and look them up and read. The point is, we need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God on a regular basis, daily, not just once in a while. And we say this not, not because we want to make you feel bad, but because I want to encourage you to be in the Word all the time. That is where God speaks to us. It is God's word, and he has given it to us. And so we want to encourage you to do that every day. And here's something else. If you miss a day, don't become discouraged. Just pick up with the next day. You're going to be reading the Bible the rest of your life. Missing that one day isn't going to hurt you. You know, when I was sick, there were about 5 days when I couldn't lift my arms, let alone sit up and read. It was the loneliest time that I've had in a long time because I wasn't in the Word every day. It was also lonely because I was locked up in a room by myself, but it was lonely because I wasn't in God's Word, and I missed it. And the reason I missed it is because it was so much a part of me now. That when you don't read, you go, there's something missing. I need that. It's a hunger and a desire that fills you. And I want to encourage you to be in the Word every day so that you have that hunger, so that you have that desire, so that if you miss, you go, man, I missed it today. I need to be in it. It needs to be part of your daily routine. And you need to make that happen. Habits do not come naturally to us. Habits are things that we develop, good habits or bad habits. They're things that we develop. So to develop a new good habit takes about, I think they say, 6 weeks to develop a new habit. It takes about 3 minutes to get rid of a habit, but to develop a habit takes work. And so you need to set that time aside. And whether you decide, you know, at the end of the day, that's the best time for me. That's great. Make that your habit. If you say, you know, I'm going to do it at lunchtime, that's great too. You just got to think about the fact that you've got to avoid being interrupted because this is going to be a time for you. Now, for me, I find the only time in my day that I am in control of is the very beginning. So I get up a little bit earlier every day, so that after I'm ready for the day, I sit down and I read when nobody else is around, when it's quiet. And the great thing about it is, if I need a little more time, I just get up a little bit earlier. But being there at the beginning of the day, for me, is a great thing. You decide when it's best for you. But make that a time that you say, I'm going to devote this to my reading. I'm going to spend time in God's Word, and I'm not going to let anything around me interrupt that. It's something that we need to look at in our lives. Now, I'm going to share with you from Deuteronomy in chapter 11. I want you to hear what God says to his people. In chapter 11, verses 8 to 23, listen to what God says. He says, you shall therefore keep the whole commandment that I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and take possession of the land that you're going over to possess, and that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them and their offspring, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land you are entering to take possession of it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you're going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drink water by the rain from heaven, a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And if you will indeed obey my commandments that I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, he will give the rain for your land and its season, the early rain and the later rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil. And he will give grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. Take care lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the land will yield no fruit, and you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on your frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them while you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. For if you will be careful to do all this commandment that I command you to do, loving the Lord your God, walking in all his ways, and holding fast to him. Then the Lord will drive out these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. You see, from the very beginning, when Moses led the people out of Egypt and into the promised land, God said, you need to know my words. You need to know my laws. And you notice he says, I don't just want you to read them. I want you to know them. I want you to write them on your wrists. I want you to hang them around your neck. I want you to put them on your doorposts. I want you to think about them and talk about them every day. When you're going, when you're coming, when you're with your children, when you're walking, everything that you're doing while you're going through the day, I want you to think about my word. I want you to know what my word says. In Jeremiah 31, and I apologize for jumping around, but in Jeremiah 31:33, it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declare the Lord. I will put my heart within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You see, God brings us to this point now with Christ where he says, it's not just going to be written down for you to read. I'm going to write my word on your heart. I want you to know me and know what my word says, not just where it's written, but where it's in your heart. You know, Jesus was talking to his disciples and the Pharisees, and he says to them, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, but what comes out of his mouth that defiles him. Why? Because what comes out of a man's mouth comes from his heart. So if you have evil in your heart, you will speak evil out of your mouth. But if you have the word of God in your heart, if you have what he has to tell us, if you have his laws and his precepts and his word, then what will come out of your mouth? God's laws, God's precepts, God's holiness, not because of you, but because of what you have put into your heart. We look at this and we say, this is a hard thing to do. The Israelites, the Israelites were to write these laws on their doorposts. If you've ever been to a person's house who is Jewish, very often you'll see a scroll nailed to the doorpost. That's their idea of doing this. Now, the purpose of that was to remind the people constantly as they went in and came out of God's word. God says today, he will write it on our heart if we will spend time in his word. And so the second part of our study today is the idea of actually studying God's word. Not just reading, but learning and understanding God's word. It's not the same as just reading. Reading allows you to become familiar with it. It allows you to know what is in God's word. It helps us to prevent ourselves from being led astray by false teaching, because when somebody says, this is what God's word says, you can say, no, that's not. I don't know exactly, but I know somewhere in the Old Testament it talks about God's word, and that's not what it says. But when we come to the idea of studying, we're looking at more than just reading. We're looking at understanding what God's word says. Not just knowing what it says, but understanding it so that it can be applied to our lives. Paul says you're going to be transformed. Well, you're not going to be transformed if you don't read, but you're also not going to really be transformed if you don't study and really know what God's word says. Studying helps us to become fully aware of God's word, what it says, what it means, how it applies in our lives. And it doesn't just happen by reading. It does require effort on our part. And so some of the things that I want you to think about here is the idea of how we study. We study by repetition. Now, I don't mean this in the idea of memorizing phrases to say, but rather the idea that in order to study and understand God's word, you need to read it multiple times. You ever read something and you read it and you read it, and about the sixth time you go, oh, now I get it. Well, that's the idea of the repetition. It's not just repetition for that sake, but rather that we read it over and over until we really understand what it says. Sometimes you may understand it with one reading, but sometimes I find I need to read it several times in order to get that. The second is, and this is a hard one for me, the idea of concentration. It's not enough to just read God's word. How many of you have read something, gotten done reading, go, I don't know what I read. I know what I read, but I don't remember anything. Why? Because while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about what I have to do at work, or I'm thinking about the yard work, or I'm thinking about something else, and I'm not really concentrating on God's word. And so if we're going to study, we need to concentrate on what we're reading. We need to read it and think about it while we're reading it so that we know and understand it better. Focusing on the scripture while you're reading is to think about what God is saying. What is God saying to me in this scripture? What is God saying to the church in this scripture? The third thing, and the hardest thing sometimes, is to comprehend what the scripture means. Sometimes we read something, we don't comprehend it. That is, for me, it's like reading a medical journal. You read, I don't know what they're saying. They got words in there I don't know. They got things I don't understand. And so I'm lost. But God's word is different. And it's different for a great reason. God says his Holy Spirit will come as a guide to us. And guess who wrote the Bible? God and his Holy Spirit. And so when we read it, the author says, I'm going to come and help you understand it. And so when we're studying, it's imperative that we understand the meaning of those scriptures. So to do this, we may want to read from a couple of different translations. We found when we're in Tuesday night Bible study that sometimes reading two or three different translations gives us a better understanding of what the scripture is, because they might use a different word than at another time or in another translation. And so we find ourselves getting a better understanding of what God is saying there. we look at this idea, and then we come to these things called commentaries. And you say, well, you could get a commentary about that particular scripture. And that's when another guy has done what you're doing already. He's read, he's studied, he's come to the conclusion of what God is saying, and he's written it down. And so reading that commentary might help you have a better understanding. The thing we have to remember about commentaries is commentaries are another guy's point of view, and we want God's point of view, so we need to be cautious that we're using commentaries that are correct and from men who are faithful to the word. And then you look at me and you go, Rick, that's great, but I don't have the money to go out and buy 7 Bibles and 14 commentaries. And you know what the great thing is today? We don't have to. You can open up your computer, and on your computer you can find multiple versions of the Bible, multiple translations at one place. You can say, well, here I am. There's Bible Gateway. There's other places that you can go. And you can find multiple translations of the Bible for free, where you can read the Bible in 3 or 4 different translations. There's also commentaries that are on the internet that you can look at. And so those things are there for us for free or for relatively no cost. And so they're available to us. We just have to take advantage of that. And then the last thing that we need to do when we're studying God's word is we need to reflect upon the scripture. We've read it. We've understood it. We've comprehended it. Now we have to say, well, what does that mean? If God is telling us this, what does that mean? How do I apply that to the church? How do I apply that to my own life? How do I use that to grow in God? In Psalm 46:10, God says, "Be still and know that I am God." What does "be still" mean? I didn't know. So about 5-6 years ago, I started looking at that. I said, what does that mean? Well, you know what? I went back and I found on the internet a Hebrew translator. And says, here's the word that means "be still" in Hebrew, and this is the translation, the literal translation of what it is. You know what "be still" means? Stop striving. Well, when you say "be still and know that I am God," you go, okay, that's not what it's talking about. What God is saying is, stop trying to do everything yourself and watch me work. That's a completely different understanding. That's the idea of studying the Word, to know what God is saying. Because now I can say, well, if I want to see God work in my life, then I need to get out of the way and let Him work. I need to stop striving. Doesn't mean I'm lazy and sit down on the couch. It means I let God do the work and I stop trying to do everything. So the idea of studying is not just to learn what God's word says, but is to understand it and comprehend it and apply it in the life of the church and in our individual lives. In John 17:3, Jesus says, John writes for us, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Well, guess what? Jesus is alive today, but he's not ministering on the earth like he was then. So we can't see that. So how are we going to learn that? By reading God's word and studying it and understanding it and allowing Him to help us apply it in our lives. Studying is helping us to grow in our knowledge of God and understand His character and what He wants for us. I'm reading for you from Psalm 119, verse 9. Listen to what it says. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If we want to know God and understand Him and become the people that He wants us to be, it requires us not just to read the Word, but to study and understand it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul tells us, and this is great, we were talking about this just last Tuesday night. Paul tells us, all Scripture is God-breathed. Now, some translations say all Scripture is inspired by God. But I really like the idea of God breathed better, because it tells us God breathed out His word to man. It was written down by Paul or Peter or Moses or Isaiah, but it was God's word to us. It wasn't their interpretation of what God said. It was God breathing it through these men who wrote. It's a fabulous thing to understand that when you read God's word, you are hearing from God. This is what God has to say. And so Paul then goes on after that, and he can say, because it's God-breathed, that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. You want to be equipped to do the good work that God has prepared for you. And if you want to know whether that's true, go to Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece, created by Him to do good works that He has prepared in advance for us to do. We have good works we're expected to do. God prepared them for us. Well, if you want to be equipped to do those good works, then you need to be in God's Word, and you need to know what it means and how it applies in your life. That's how we grow into that person. Remember, Paul told us that God wants to transform us. He wants to give us a new heart of flesh. He wants to change our character. And ultimately, this doesn't happen just by looking at God's Word, but by studying it and knowing it and learning what it means. I know sometimes when you are studying, you may have difficulty in understanding it. Well, guess what? 2 Peter, listen to what Peter says. And this is kind of a great thing in many cases, but I'll just look at this one. for speaking loud, this is 3:15-16. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. But if Peter tells you that sometimes what Paul wrote is hard to understand, don't be discouraged when you're reading one of Paul's epistles and you go, this is hard to understand. Because even Peter said, look, I realize sometimes it's hard to understand. Doesn't mean we can't understand. We can understand all things through him, through God, through his Holy Spirit. Commentaries are a good help in these things. But remember that the writers are the writers, and they're not God. And so we really need to lean on what God's Word says. But sometimes the commentators have done some of the work for you and can help you to understand those things. One of the other things that we need to think about when we're studying, not when we're reading, but when we're studying, this is not a 5 or 10 minute project. When you're going to sit down and study God's Word, you need to prepare for a block of time. Now, how much time that is will probably be up to you. But I would suggest you need at least an hour of time each time you're going to sit down to study. The more complex a subject matter, the more you're going to have time involved in it. Think about it when you were in school. I know sometimes you meet people and go, oh, I just went and took the test. I could never do that. When I wanted to study for an exam, I had to sit down in blocks of time and read the material and look at it and work on the problems and study it so I could understand it and be prepared. And we're doing this now for something greater than a grade on an exam. We're doing this so that we will be prepared to do the good works that God has called us to do. And so we need to be prepared when we're going to study God's Word to put time into it, to have that time set aside, and to do that in a way that we won't be interrupted. It requires an amount of time to do. So it's not something that you will do typically every day. It's something that you might do once a week or a couple of times a month, where you're going to sit down and really get into God's Word and understand a particular letter, one of the epistles, or a subject that you may come across. For me, I find that late evening, when everything is calmed down in the house, is a good time sometimes to block out some time. Or I might find myself on a weekend day taking an hour or two and say, I'm going to look at this today. So I'm going to block that time out, and I'm not going to do anything else, and I'm not going to watch TV, and I'm not going to go do things in the yard and dig water pipes, which I like to do. And I'm going to spend time here in God's Word. So I block that time out. And it's important, because now when you have that block of time, not only can relax about what you're doing, You can spend the time to read the scripture a few times, to look at different things, to spend time in prayer, to take time to just be quiet and let God talk to you about what his word says. These are things that you do when you're studying, when you want to know more. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's not an easy habit to build, but it's really, really important in our life with God. And nothing that is important comes quickly or easily. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, Paul tells us that he disciplines his body to, to keep it under control, lest after preaching the word to others, he himself should be disqualified. How many of you would ever think that Paul would be disqualified? None of us. Why? Because he tells us, I discipline my body. I keep it under control so that I will do what God wants me to do. It takes effort, even for the Apostle Paul, the greatest evangelist. And yet he had to work to keep himself disciplined. And therefore, he states in verse 25 that we're desirous of receiving not a prize that's perishable, but one that is imperishable. And so we should seek to be diligent about our efforts. So then you say, well, what should I study? Good question. I don't know. I find when I'm reading through the Bible that I come across topics or scriptures and I go, I want to know more about that. What is God talking about when he's saying all these sacrifices in Leviticus? What does he mean? So I sit down and I take my notepad and I write down, look up sacrifices, look up Leviticus, go to these things, and I just make a note for myself. Or you may be reading through an epistle of Paul or one of Peter's letters or one of the old prophets. He would say, you know, I want to look deeper into that. So write that down. The idea is that you're being led as you're reading through the Holy Spirit, reading through the Word by the Holy Spirit, and these things may come up. Write them down. Then when you get ready to study, pick one of them. Pick a topic that you want to look at, or pick an epistle, maybe one of the smaller letters, because it's a little bit less material when you're first starting out and you want to get started. Pick something that's shorter and easier to work. I don't suggest you go into Isaiah or Ezekiel. It might be a little bit too much the first time, but ultimately, that may be where you end up. But the time is, or the point is, that we learn to grapple with God's word. We wrestle with it. We think about it. We say, what does this mean in our lives as Christians, as the church, and how does it affect me, and what does it do for me? Whatever your choice is, it's important that you start. We never start until we start. And I really believe that as you start doing this, you will enjoy it and you'll want to do it more. Because the more we learn about God, the more we understand it, the more we grow in our walk with Him. We're not trying to make you feel guilty here. I really am not. I'm trying to encourage you because God's Word has so much to say for you. And God wants to transform you. He wants you to become a new person. Jeremiah says he wants to give you a new heart. A heart of flesh, a heart that is for Him. He wants you to become like His Son Jesus. And that won't happen by you sitting here Sunday morning. It will only happen by you being in His Word regularly and by your study of that Word to understand it. So I really am encouraging you to do this, to start this discipline in your life. If you're not already doing it, start it. If you're doing it, continue, grow in it, add to it. These are the things that we want to do. If we're serious about God's love and a desire to grow in ourselves and to offer ourselves to Him, listen to what Paul says in Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual worship. Growing and studying and learning God's word to grow into the people he's called us to be is our worship to God. It's what he calls from us, and it's what I really want to encourage us all to begin or to continue and grow in. Because this is how we're going to learn who God is, what he wants from us, and it's how he will transform us by the renewing of our mind to make us like his son Jesus, which is what his purpose is in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you because you have written it down for us that we might all easily read it, understand it, know what you have to say, and grow in our walk with you. God, I pray that you will encourage each one of us to have that desire in our heart to read your word, to grow in your word, to learn more about it, to study it, to know what you have to say to us and how it applies to us as church and as individuals, so that we might grow and become the people that you truly want us to be, so that we become the tools that you can use to reach out into this community and to share the gospel of Jesus with everyone we meet. We thank you and we praise you and we ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus, so that all the glory and honor goes to him. Amen.